Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Ray Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 163 of Nerd Pride Radio. 163, the lowest score that cannot be shot in a standard game of darts. And you guys say I never do anything sports related. All right, ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
God. Let me try that again. Except now she won't do it. Darn it. I should just adapt. Anytime I record here at school with Lisa in the room, I should just adapt the whole intro to accommodate for her being there. So you know what? That's what I'm going to do right now. Let me try again. Because I screwed that up, so I'm going to start it over. Hold on. So ask me how I'm doing today. Come on. You just throw off my rhythm is all. Oh, man. I'll get better at this, I promise. Anyway, assuming that you guys out there already asked me, I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. And my co-host this week, Bugbear the Cat. All right, before I get started with anything else, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! Last week, I talked about the international education testing and how well our students rank compared to others, and the problem was that I mentioned the Economic Policy Institute. And throughout my discussion, I kept referring to them as if they were both the people who were doing the testing and the people who were criticizing the way the results were presented from the testing. And clearly, that would be stupid if they were both people. No, they were the ones doing the critique of how we are presented these results and how we use them. The people who do the actual testing, I believe it's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, are the people who do the international testing. So I apologize for the confusion. I was listening back to last week's episode, and I mean literally first sentence into it, I screwed up, and I'm like the whole rest of the thing just made me cringe because I realized I had presented it wrong. So my apologies. All right. Also, before I go into the thing, I also have yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment. Mike was wrong. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had a conversation with me about pets and animals, but if you had, you would have heard me say many times that we're not getting any more pets. We're not. Okay. Look, we've got our dogs. We've got our guinea pig, one guinea pig left, and that's going well. But you know what? Eventually, they're going to get older, they're going to pass away, and once they're gone, maybe we'll just enjoy our lives without any animals in the house. Maybe the kids will be out by then, and then it'll just be me and Lisa, and we can relax, and it'll just be us, and maybe someday we'll get a cat, or a couple of cats. But that's way down the road. That's the conversation I would have had with you had you asked me about my pets. Turns out, I was completely wrong, because we just got a cat. So, we were in Sioux City for a hockey game for the Scouts. The Scouts weren't playing the hockey game. The Scouts were there for Scout Night to watch the Sioux City Musketeers play hockey. And on our way there, we stopped by to see our oldest son, Jacob, who was awesome. And Jacob said, hey, as long as you're going to Sioux City, my heat lamp for my for my hedgehog broke. And, you know, as long as you're there getting something for him, well, he could really stand some new mealworms. And so we said, yeah, you know what? We would love to pick that up. And so we went to PetSmart to go pick up the mealworms. And PetSmart has a program where they have a whole bunch of shelter cats. They contract with local shelters, or I don't know if it's even contracting. They just allow them space. And so shelters will bring in animals to display and share and give people a chance to meet them. And, man, we must have been in a cat kind of mood because every cat there was just charming and wonderful. And there was one in particular. He was on the end. And while he was sleeping, he just looked, he looked massive and fun. And, his name is Bear. At least that's what it said on the tag. And then once we got him out to play with him, because all of us, it was me, Lisa, and then the two younger boys, Eli and Noah, we all just fell in love with this cat independently. And we got to talking about, we're like, well, let's at least play with him. And so we got him out and we played with him a little bit. And it turns out that we really liked him and he seemed to take to us okay. And so we said, well, you know what? Tell you what, maybe tomorrow we'll come back. It's kind of a drive, but we've got to go to the hockey game tonight. And by the time the hockey game's over, the place will be closed and we can't just buy him now and let him sit in a freezing car all night. So we'll get him in the morning. Maybe this will give us a chance to talk about it. Well, then of course we got to the hockey game. None of us could concentrate because we were thinking about this cat. So we left the hockey game early. We quit about the halfway mark and we bailed out of the hockey game so we could go back and buy our cat. And he's awesome. First off, let me just say, shelter cat, what a great idea. All right. First off, it's an animal that needs a home in the first place. And for only $50, we got an awesome cat who already has all of his shots. He's already fixed. He's already got a microchip in him and he comes with a coupon book and we walked out with $20 worth of free food at the same time that we got this cat. So all for $50. What an amazing deal. And Bear, who we've renamed, this was my wife's idea because she knows how much I like bugbears and how much they're the most awesome monster in D&D. And so therefore she said, maybe we should just call him. Oh, you shut up over there. She's making fun of me. But anyway, because he had come from an owner who had passed away, so the old owner died, and then Bear got put into, got dropped off with whatever this shelter was, and so he's already got a name, like a name he was used to, and we kind of hate to change that on him. So we've just changed it to Bugbear, and we're still going to call him Bear most of the time, although I like calling him Bug too. But anyway, he's charming. He's awesome. He's a little over a year old, they think, and he's super sweet to us. So, you know, he's a very typical cat, doesn't want to be picked up and dragged around, but if you sit down long enough, he's going to come over and find you. He likes to follow Lisa around the house, likes to be in rooms with people in it, and he's great. He's eating and drinking just great, and he's taken to his litter box, and he likes hanging out with people, and he doesn't mind the kids. So, cool. This is awesome. We haven't done a full introduction with him and the dogs yet, though. We'll see how that goes. I'm gonna guess it involves a lot of him hiding in a corner somewhere while the dogs just bark. But we'll see. We'll see. And he loves the guinea pig. So, can't get to it, but apparently really likes him. So anyway, I'm sure there will be more Bear the Cat reports down the road. But for right now, hey, we got a cat. I'm really happy about that. He's really cool. All right. Now, having done all that, now it is time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week. I added to my master list in my handy dandy pocket mod, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into the master list. You know what? I had a lot of things in there, and I wrote them all down, and they all turned out to be gaming related, so we're gonna start with my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And first up, I suppose I should talk about starting up a new game of Pathfinder with the kids. We played the other one for a while, and it's gotten to the point where they've learned a lot, And now they're looking at it all started because they all just got really excited about having new characters. They all came up with character ideas, and they all got super excited about it. And finally, they were all on the same page. They're like, hey, you know what? We really like these new ideas. Can we just start a new game? Maybe? Would that be all right? So, okay, that's fine by me. I'll play with anything. And so we're doing this, the new setup, which is, yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, my wife is disappointed that Noah's not going to be a were-sheep anymore. But here's the deal is that, Eli just came up with the coolest idea. For him, it was just, I have no idea where it came from, but he decided he wanted to be a teenage farm boy who, has gained some sort of skills, and now he is riding a giant pig into combat while wielding a scythe. That was his entire concept. He wants to be like a cavalier, a knight riding into combat, but on a pig while wielding farm implements. And once he described it to me, it was just too cool to pass up. And so we went in and did some research. He's actually going to be, it's in Pathfinder, so he's going to be a hunter is the class he's using. So he's actually going to have some magical links to stuff. And, you know, the pig will be an actual animal companion, so it'll be very loyal, very smart. And, it's just a really cool character. It's a great setup. And he named himself Newt. So, Newt with his pig Buford. And he's very excited about that. It's a great character. Aiden at the same time had done the same kind of thing. He was just looking at it. He's like, hey, man, they have this kind of character in Pathfinder, right? And what he was looking at, he didn't know the name of it, but it's a magus. It's essentially someone who is a warrior but also wields wizardly type powers and can infuse their weaponry with magic as they go. And I'm like, yeah, you can do that. And as we read through the description of the class, he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to play. Holy crap. So we kind of fleshed out something for him. And then for Noah, it took a little bit because Noah was also attached to his were-sheep. I mean, he wasn't ready to just let go of the old campaign. But the issue with him is that, you know, kids have such great ideas for characters when they're little. But, man, sometimes the cool factor of what it is they want to do doesn't give them quite the exciting role-playing opportunities that they're hoping for. So his last character, the reason I even made him a were-sheep in the first place is that he just didn't have a whole lot to do in combat. He was a sorcerer, but he had some extra stuff to him, and it was just like, yeah, he had cool things that he could do, but then, you know, we'd get into the heat of combat and he'd throw a couple of spells, and then he'd be maneuvering around the outside waiting for his opportunity. And most of it, he just wanted to dive in with everybody else. He just wanted to get in there and start breaking stuff, and he didn't get a chance to do that. So, you know, so thus I gave him the were-sheep stuff. I gave him some other things to make his character a little more interesting. And it just never quite really fleshed it out the way we wanted. So. But he'll still do that. My wife is mentioning that, anytime they're driving to or from school and the full moon is out, Noah immediately, full moon, bah, because he loves being a were-sheep. But instead, he's going to be a bard archer. And this way we've got actually great mix of characters in that the hunter is a warrior who also has some healing cleric stuff on the side. The magus is a warrior who also has some magic stuff and magic that specifically helps in the melee combat. And then the bard archer who is, primarily, at least the way we're designing it, going to be a power archer who also has the bard magic on the side. So it's going to be three almost full warriors that all have a little bit of magic stuff to go with it. And I think it's going to be a good combo. Since it's just going to be the three of them, you know, they'll have all the fighting, but then they'll have enough half-assed stuff to kind of piece together all the other classes when they need them, that somebody will be able to pick locks and somebody will be able to heal them. And so it'll all kind of come together. I think this is going to work. Should be a good balance, but what do I know? I'm just a game master. So we'll see. Let's see. What else do I have down here? Oh, we had game night this week and played another round of Cobras with a different group of people than last time. And I don't know if you were listening when I gave my last review of Cobras, but man, I like this game. This is really my new favorite card game. It's really cool. I mean, and again, I'm going to go through the whole review again just because I like Cobras this much. It's a trick-taking card game. It's pretty close to a standard 52 card deck with four suits, 13 cards in each suit, and you're taking tricks. So, you know, you lead out a color. Everyone's got to follow suit. Whoever's got the highest in that color takes the trick. And that part's really straightforward. The complicated part is that you've also got a basket full of cobras, and you wind up, you have to lose tricks in order to take cobras and put them in your basket. You have to win a trick in order to catch them to get points, but there's a real balance because if you get too many, if you wait too long to cash in, or if the other people are blocking you, so you're forced to keep accumulating more cobras without being able to cash in, the more you have in your basket, the less they're worth ultimately. And so there's this sweet spot where you want to cash in as close to this number as you can, and too much less than that, too much more than that, you're not getting a whole lot of points. And so it's a really cool balance of trying to win and lose at the right times. And just, again, everybody who's played has had a great time with it. I'm really enjoying this. It is, like I say, it may be my new favorite card game. So I'm excited that the Kickstarter for it got funded, and I'm excited they've met a couple of their stretch goals, so there'll be higher quality cards, higher quality tokens to play with, and they were able to add a scoring card so that they've got something that you can keep track of the score right there in front of you and have, instead of having to have separate pen and paper like we do. I'm just really excited about Cobras. This is a great game. So I will keep you guys posted for when the game is actually published and on how you can get your own copy because it's worth your time. Really good game. Also, while we were there, at game night, Colin asked me if there was anything I was looking at because, you know, we're just kind of, it had snowed that day, like bad snow, like closing school level of snow. And so even though it started to clear up by the evening, turnout for game night was a little bit low. And so, you know, me and Colin are standing around looking for people who want to play stuff and trying to figure out what it is we want to do. And so he's like, well, is there anything that you've been wanting to try? And I'm like, okay, I need to learn how to play Sushi Go, and I need to learn how to play King of Tokyo. And so we wound up playing both of those through the course of the night. And I really like them both. They were a lot of fun. Sushi Go is unique. It's novel among the card games that I've played because you wind up having a hand and you're passing cards, but ultimately what you're winding up doing is you're keeping one card out of your hand and then just passing the whole rest of the hand off and then, you know, getting a new hand from somebody else. And it makes for a really different dynamic. And I haven't played it enough to really get a feel for all the cards yet and get an idea of, okay, if I'm passing these off, looking at what cards you've got, what you might be saving for, you know, looking at what did the last guy pass me, so what kind of cards should be coming around. I'm not smart enough to do all of that yet, but still had a really good time. Yeah, I didn't win, didn't even come close to winning, but I had a good time. It was a lot of fun. And it's something that is really fast to learn, easy to pick up, and everybody has a good time. It's you know, this kind of frantic because you're passing all these cards all at once, just a lot of fun. So I enjoyed Sushi Go. I think it's a good quick game, a good party game, you know, stuff when, especially if you've got people who aren't serious gamers or, you know, they're not sure if they want to learn something new. This is a nice, easy one. I like it. King of Tokyo also. Colin has always been down on this one because he's like, you know, it's all right. It's just not one of my favorites. But I only played one round in the round or one game of it. And the game I played happened to be really good. Like we had a good balance and everybody was having a good time. We all felt like we had something to contribute. And it went really fast and really well. And King of Tokyo, y'all play giant monsters attacking Tokyo, attacking each other, and you're rolling a big handful of dice. And you have, you know, options for building up energy that you can buy new powers with, or you get attacks, or you get heals, or you get, you know, victory points, glory, whatever it is, to move towards the win. And it's a really good game. Like I say, it was well balanced in the game I played, but Colin says that, nah, he's played a lot of it. And he says, and sometimes you get these really good games like this and everyone has a great time. He says, but then there's others where, you know, you've got five people and somebody goes out the first round. And when you go out the first round, he said, it's like going out the first round to Risk. And now suddenly you're sitting around for an hour watching everybody else play and you've got nothing else to do because, well, you're out. Sorry. I can see how that would kind of suck. And he says, or there's others where, again, you know, if the dice just don't come up right, nobody's buying the big powers because they just don't have the cash for it yet. He said there can be games where you're just slogging back and forth. And he says it feels like, you know, you go 19 turns and everyone's just, okay, I hit you a little. Okay, I heal a little. Okay, I hit, I heal. And he says it just feels like sometimes it just drags out. I didn't see any of that. So for me, I'm just taking his word for it. But for me, King of Tokyo was a great game on the first try. Eli and my cousin Caleb, or cousin, my nephew Caleb, who you guys met a few episodes ago, Eli and Caleb said they played a few games before I got over there, and they loved it. Eli really wants me to buy a set, so I think I may do that. But ultimately, Sushi Go, King of Tokyo, both great new games, so I was very happy with those. Let's see, that's it for games. And in fact, that's it for my master list. I have all sorts of other things this week that I know as things came to me, I was like, oh, I need to get that on my list. But my pen, because I usually have my pocket mod in my pocket to keep my master list on, and I write everything down. But then I also have a pen in my front pocket, and my pen broke this week, and I never bothered to pick up another one because I would never think about grabbing another pen until I needed a pen and didn't have it. And then that's when I'd go, oh, that's right, I was going to grab another pen. So I never did. And so I had probably a dozen things. I'm serious. I'm telling you, about a dozen times this week, I had something that I'd go, oh, yeah, I need to write that. Oh, shoot. Okay, no pen. But don't worry. As soon as I get somewhere where I can find a pen, I'll write all this down. And then I would get there and go, I don't remember what I was thinking of. So, man, I lost all sorts of great material. There was probably my greatest show ever just lost because I didn't have a pen. You know what? I think I'm going to go steal a pen right now. Hold on. All right, that is unbelievable. See, my wife is making fun of me that I don't have a pen on me, and that's my cheap excuse for not having more stuff for the podcast. She says, that's something your kids would do. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's where they get it from. But so I pause. I go to get a pen because we're in a classroom. In a classroom, there should be a pen here for me, right? One that I could just steal and no one would know. And as it turns out, see, I need a clicker pen because if I have a pen with a cap on it, I will chew the cap and it's disgusting and I hate it when I do that. So I try not to have pens with caps because I just ruin them and make them gross. But I need to have a retractable pen because I have to be able to put it in my pocket without getting ink all over myself. So it has to be a clicker pen. And she has no clicker pens. And she says, well, no, she has no clicker pens because they drive her crazy when people have them and keep clicking them. And in fact, in her opinion, clicker pens should be illegal. That's how strongly she feels about it. So I don't have a clicker pen now, which means I can't add anything to my pocket mod. So if this continues and the podcast is substandard, not just this week, but going into next week, you'll all know it was Lisa's fault because she has this irrational fear of clicker pens. That's why. So there we go. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with my neuroses. It's all her. So, although as it comes to the clicker pens, we also then just got into a discussion about the fidget cubes. Have you guys seen the fidget cubes yet? They're advertised out online. And not the fake ones, the real ones. The fidget cubes are, I mean, they're cubes that about an inch across, and they have each side, each face of the cube has a different thing to fiddle with. So there's a little switch on some, there's dials, there's buttons, there's just things to fidget with, and they're really cool looking. And so we went ahead and they had a Kickstarter for it. We went ahead and got in on the Kickstarter, and we actually ordered 5 of them because we're going to give one to each kid in their stocking this year. And as long as we were ordering 4, they actually had a deal for 5. We're like, all right, we'll get a 5th one. That's fine. And yeah, keep it in the classroom or something. Certainly not give it to me. I would hate that. So, but she's now worried that, oh God, what if they make clicky noises? What if they drive her crazy? I guess she'll just have to live with that. But the interesting thing with the Kickstarter for it is their original goal was $15,000, and they ended up getting like $6 million or something like that. I mean, just some phenomenally high number. So these guys, you know, 2 guys who put this little thing together, and man, they hit on magic. Magic. And so they are making some serious buck on this, and this is really cool for them. Good for them. I mean, this is awesome. But It also means that since the fidget cube idea is so popular, there are now tons of knockoffs. And their Kickstarter closed a little while ago, and so you'll wind up we got in on the first wave of them, so we'll get ours in December. We should get ours before Christmas is what they're telling us. And then the next wave of people after that who got in after the Kickstarter had already closed, those people are getting their fidget cubes like into February or something like this. And then there are tons of knockoffs now that are just stealing the idea outright. In fact, not just stealing the idea, but stealing the graphics off of their website and presenting them as their own and trying to sell them as their different kinds of attention cubes or whatever it is they call themselves. And there's dozens of these knockoffs doing it. And most of them don't even have any actual product. They're just scams trying to get your money, or they are resellers who are hoping to make their buck by getting real fidget cubes, reselling them as their own rebranded, and then making their money by, you know, jacking up the price by $5 and then charging you $10 for shipping and handling. And they're all scams. And so the fidget cube guys, have been sending out notices about it saying, yeah, you know, look, we're sending cease and desists and we're, you know, taking people to court and this kind of stuff. And most of this stuff is getting shut down, but boy, it's going to take a while. But it's just an interesting process to watch. But either way, all I care about is I got real fidget cubes coming and should have them within the next month. So that's actually really exciting. But that's, I've gone far afield from my gaming table here. I'm kind of stalling because while we were having this discussion of fidget cubes, I thought of something else for the gaming table, but I didn't have a clicker pen to write it down with. And now I can't remember what it was. And so I was stalling, hoping that reworking this conversation would remind me of what it was I was going to talk about. And I got nothing. So I'm just going to have to let this go. I remembered what it was I was going to talk about. I stalled long enough. It finally worked. Don't forget that the 2017 Deadpool is coming up. My wife is mopping up the floor with this year, and there's no way anyone's going to catch her. I made a comment because her mom got in on this year's Deadpool with us. And I made a comment the other week and said, wow, yeah, gosh, your mom hasn't had any points at all this year. And she goes, yeah, you know what? Everyone on her list could die. She still wouldn't catch me. Like, wow, she is really cocky about it. You guys, seriously, get in for next year. Help me drag her down. We got to teach her a lesson. She needs a little humility. She's won way too often in the last few years. And she thinks she's got a lock on this. So seriously, if you have had any interest when I've been talking about Deadpool, for the last few years, because I bring it up every year, if you guys have had any interest at all, this is the time to jump in. Come on. Get in there. Give me a list. Play. It's really easy. You turn in a list of 30 names before Christmas Eve, and that's all the work you have to do for a whole year of playing. So seriously, get in on it. This is your chance. The more the merrier. So, I'm sorry. What? Oh man, I wish I had heard what she said, because I'm pretty sure it was, she was, while I'm talking, she's over there chewing me out for making her look like she's overconfident and making her look like a poor winner and all this. And then I think at the very last second, she threw in something that shattered all of that and made her into a very poor winner. She's really good at this, guys. We should all gang up on her. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway. Play some Deadpool. Yeah, I know there's no way to gang up on somebody. It's the thought that counts. All right. Anyway, I love you too. That is so sweet. Aw. So, anyway, now I'm done with the gaming table. I'm done with the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. And now it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And the very first number is number 30. And I have a Pod-O-Matic list, and it is right. Oh, there's my mouse. Whew. All right. I'm figuring out how this computer thing works. And number 30 is from my wife, Lisa. Go figure. And Lisa says, in your best Elmer Fudd voice, sing Fire, or Fire, but with nerdy lyrics. Oh, maybe next time you won't complain that I'm not sending you enough Podomatics, huh? Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I'm supposed to be making you look like a good sport over there. Yeah, I see what you're complaining about. Oh, man, why do I even read these? I should have... I had every ability. I saw her name come up. I could have just skipped to the next one. You guys wouldn't know. You can't see where number 30 is on this list. I could have just read off Zimney's. Because look, Zimney's question, the one that I could have just skipped to and pretended I didn't even see this one. It was said, hey, it's from Zimney. Which would you rather have, unlimited pizza or unlimited hot dogs? Oh, my God, that's a tough question, but one that I can answer. Stop it. Stop it. To demonstrate what a wuss I'm being, she's over there singing. She won't do it on mic because, you know, that. But she's over there singing, and she's making up, and it apparently involves a Pathfinder and a bugbear. So, God, why would you not be over here singing that on mic? You could be doing it. Stop it. Oh my God. She's so funny. I can't compete with that. That is so, oh, you know what? This is going to be the worst segment ever because I'm just going to tell you guys that she just did it. She just sang the whole thing and it was really good. And she won't come over here and do it for you guys, but it's awesome. I mean, that was really funny, but. Stop. Apparently the song has another verse. God, I can't. You ever get that where you laugh so much that your head starts to hurt? Like I got this whole tension headache right at the base of my skull because I'm smiling too much. That's what she's doing. Oh my God. That's her. Wow. All right, so anyway, back to the question. The question was unlimited pizza or unlimited hot dogs, right? I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Oh, man, as much as I love hot dogs, I mean, if I had a choice right now, I've got them right in front of me, and I could either have the pizza or I could have the hot dogs, I would pick the hot dogs right now. But I think in the long term, I would get sick of hot dogs faster. So, man, I would go with unlimited pizza. Plus, unlimited pizza has more mass appeal for my friends if you're going to have a party or something. You could invite people over for a pizza party. I think you can get more takers than, hey, we're having a hot dog party. That just sounds dirty. You know what I mean? All right. 50. Number 50 is, it's from Master. Master says, have you ever played a sport? Wow. What a great question, young man. And despite the fact that I am a huge nerd and I am not a giant fan of sports, yes, I have played many sports in my life. The last organized sport that I played would have been Little League baseball when I was 8 or 9. But, you know, neighborhood games, pickup games of football, baseball, basketball, did tons of that. And, when I first started working for Nebraska Health and Human Services, our office, our social services office, organized a volleyball team and I played on that for a little, I mean, it was just, you know, we weren't very good and we were more there to just have fun and make jokes the whole time. Which really pissed off some of the more serious teams because they would kick our asses and they were really hoping for more of a challenge than that and felt that we weren't taking it very seriously, which we weren't, but we had a good time doing it. So, I've played many sports in my life, and I've enjoyed quite a few of them, but not anything, professionally organized, not anything, you know, anything spectacular. I was never on any of the teams in high school or anything like that, but I've played lots of different games. So, you know, for what it's worth. 24 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Dark says, by the way, I'm feeling really guilty about not singing you a song, but I can't at this point. I really can't. But man, that was good. So, you know what? Next time I do this, I'm going to mic her desk, but not let her know. And then that way I'll get the full range of feedback from her for the entire show because she comments all the time over there. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a microphone to pick all that up? Pretty good, I think. All right. Mrs. Dark says, do you think whom is outdated? Of course, yes. If I mic'd your desk, they would definitely hear how sarcastic you are throughout the episode, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, you should listen to me and Aiden recording together, or even me and Eli. Eli's getting kind of a smart mouth. Listen to Kyle with his kids. People love that dynamic, and they know that it's all done out of love. You're not sarcastic because you're mean. You're sarcastic because you're really witty and funny. People would see that. She says no. She's doing it because she's mean. She just doesn't want to even know that. Okay, I get that too. Anyway, Mrs. Darks was asking, do you think whom is outdated? Am I nuts for trying to teach it and its proper usage to my children? No. Yes, it is outdated. Yes, I think there is absolutely no reason for the word whom to be used. It is not it doesn't provide any additional information that we wouldn't get from just using who in every instance. I mean, from context, it's very clear what you mean. Whom does not clarify any of this for us. However, you are not nuts for trying to teach your children proper usage, because if they do use it, it also doesn't take anything away from their communication by using it. It makes them look more proper and it lets them see the difference for the times in formal writing when it actually makes a difference to know the difference. You know what I mean? So, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, go ahead and teach them. I'm totally cool with that. But yeah, as Lisa points out, it's very similar to teaching, shall versus will, that, you know, I shall, we shall, you will, they will. She says they have parents who come to school and complain that it seems pointless to them because no one talks that way anymore. Nobody uses shall. Everybody uses will, and everybody knows exactly what you mean when you say will, which they have a point that if you say I will, as opposed to I shall, no one's going to be confused about what your intent is with that sentence. However, if you're aware of the difference and you want to teach your kids the difference, they'll learn it and they'll understand it and they'll know it. And while, you know, in possibly 98% of their communications through life, it makes no difference whatsoever. The times when it does make a difference to know the difference, then they'll have that skill and they'll know it. And it's not like you're taking up extra room that would have been learned to, you know, oh my God, you've used up all the brain space they were going to have to cure cancer with or something. No, they can do both. Seriously, your kids could learn proper grammar and cure cancer. They're not mutually exclusive. So, it honestly just makes them smarter. It gives them greater context. You're not hurting your kids by teaching to them. Although if they don't learn it properly, it's not like they're going to suffer, but you know, you can make them that much better. You have that ability for what it's worth. 17. 17 is right there. It's from Irish Fan. Oh, hi, Irish Fan. Irish Fan says, Burnout Paradise, greatest arcade racing game ever. Why won't they make a sequel? Why won't they at least release a PS4 edition? I've spent countless hundreds of dollars on arcade racers over the past several years, and nothing compares. Have you ever heard of it? Gaming unit of choice, PS4. Okay. First off, all right, I'll get to the second question in a minute, but have I ever heard of Burnout Paradise? I've played Burnout, but I don't know what the difference between Burnout and Burnout Paradise is, so give me a second while I look it up. And thank you, Wikipedia. Burnout Paradise, I'm quoting right now, is the fifth game in the main Burnout Racing video game series and the seventh game overall out of the Burnout series. It was developed by Criterion Games, published by Electronic Arts, released in 2008 for PlayStation and Xbox 360. PlayStation 3. All right. Wow. Let's see. And apparently it is a racing game that is set in an open world setting. Nope, apparently I've never seen it or played it. I don't know what makes it so spectacular compared to other racing games or how other later racing games are somehow falling short of this ideal that was set in 2008. So I can't help you on that one, Irish fan. But, I mean, sounds awesome. I give you that. But I have absolutely no idea. So why did they not make a sequel? Well, technically it's the fifth in the series, so, you know, a sequel to this one is just, you know, number six in a long series of games. I have no idea why they didn't continue it. No idea whatsoever. So, but wow, it looks really cool. All right. So back to what was the remainder of your question here. All right. Have you ever heard of it? No. Gaming unit of choice, PS4 or Xbox, whatever current it is. For me, gaming unit of choice, I don't have one because we don't own anything except Nintendo. So, you know, we've owned every single Nintendo console ever, including up to the Nintendo Wii U, which we have right now. And also then there will be what's the next one that's coming up? I can't even remember the name of it. But they've got the really cool one that's going to be a combination of a console and portable game. And that one's coming out soonish. And I'm sure eventually we'll have that in our house as well. But we have never owned a PlayStation, never owned an Xbox, never done any of that. So, yeah, that's the other thing is that our kids made the jump from Nintendo games to PC gaming, and they just love the PC gaming. And thus, for the most part, like Jacob and Aiden at this point, now that they're college age kids, they really could care less if they play console games anymore. For them, it's all PC gaming. So, you know, like I say, our younger kids, yeah, we'll probably have the next Nintendo deck that comes out. But, I don't have a preference on any of the others because I've never really played any of the others other than the occasional pickup game at someone else's house where, you know, we sit down, we play for a half hour and then that's it. So I don't really know how they stack up to each other at all. I can't enter that conversation in the least. 94 is way down here. There it is. 94 comes from Master again. Hey, Master. Master says, do you read these questions before you read them on air? Yeah. Yeah, of course I do, dude. Because I didn't used to. I used to just copy lists because people would send me 20 of them, 30 of them at a time. And especially if it was a long list, I'd just copy-paste them in and let it go. But then my wife started sending me really difficult-to-answer questions, like ones that ask for weird accents, things that make me sing. And so I've started reading them now so I can just weed those. No, I don't weed those out. I'm kidding. She's got the horrified look on her face over there. No. No. No, no. No. What I do is I read them because there are some questions that I've just answered before. So I know I've done it before. I know, you know, again, I have answered what is your shoe size 3 times on this show because it was submitted by 3 different people, which is, you know, not a horrible thing because that, at least that's a question that has a nice quick answer. It comes up. I give my stock answer. Boom. I move on. It only takes 20 seconds. But then there's others where I know it's a repeat question, so I'll take it out. Or every once in a long while, and I don't do this often because most of the time anything can turn out to be really fun depending on how you work it. I mean, I don't want to make fun of a question, but, you know, I can answer it in an interesting way. And so I'll let them sit there and they'll be fine. But there are certain questions that I have taken out just because I know that if I tried to answer it straight, it would just not work on air. I just know that I would have a problem with it. But also there's others, especially ones where people ask a question that say, hey, give me your top 10, whatever. I can't give you a top 10 in a Podomatic. I just can't do it. That is just too much. Because there's some questions that require a lot of research before I can give you a proper answer. I can't just answer them off the top of my head. And so some of them, and you guys have heard me do this before, some of them that would require research like that, I just pull them out of the list and I just make them into regular show topics. I don't even bother with the Podomatic. I don't bother with waiting around for them. I just go ahead and answer them straight up because I find them fascinating and I'd like to do the work to make them good. And yeah, well, no, that's true. Yeah, my wife is wanting to jump in to defend me here and say, she wants to reassure you guys that I don't look at them ahead of time so I can come up with clever answers, for them before they get rolled, which is absolutely true because honestly, if I was looking at them ahead of time so I could prepare witty answers, wouldn't I have been much better at this? Seriously? I mean, God, especially like singing, a nerdy version of Fire in an Elmer Fudd voice. If, you know, I'm sure if I sat down for 3.5 minutes, I could have come up with something. I can't do it off the top of my head like Lisa can, but if I had just given it a little bit of time, just to alter the lyrics a little bit, I could have had something written, pasted in with the question. I could have answered it. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing any of that. And she can vouch for me. By the time these come up, I mean, you guys can hear the surprise and laughter in my voice on a lot of these because I don't remember any of these. I don't remember that I've read them before, but I do proofread them ahead of time just to make sure I understand what it is. Or like a few times people have sent me a link, so I just make the link live. When I paste it in, I have to modify it so the link is actually live in my spreadsheet, and then that way I can just click on it when it comes up in the show. But no, I'm not looking at things ahead of time to do research, but I do proof them just to make sure that I think it'll fit with the show and to make sure it's not something I've done a million times before and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I do read them. Absolutely. I suppose also I could be reading them for content and making sure that they're not dirty or inappropriate or obscene or something like that. But that's never actually been a problem. Usually if there's stuff that has questionable language in it, I just read it anyway, or I edit it on the fly as I go. That's never been a major problem, which is again, not a challenge for you guys. I'm not asking you to try and submit things that you know I'll have to take out of here. But in general, you guys are really good about submitting really quality questions. So I don't have to worry about it too much. Next number is 24. And that is. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Oh, we just did 24. That was from Mrs. Dark, so we'll have to roll again. 64. Let's go down the list and try this one. Oh, so close. There it is. It's from Zimny again. Zim says, how do you protect your spell book? Oh, that's easy. I don't have a spell book. I pick characters that do spontaneous magic, and therefore I don't have to worry about a spell book. I pick characters that pray for their spells, and thus they don't need a spell book. I just don't play wizards. So there you go. That was easy enough, wasn't it? 34. All right, this 4 is locked. Is it? Oh, yeah. Wow, how about that? R2 was wedged underneath him, or underneath the die, and was keeping that 4 locked on. But we're going to go ahead and keep it, 34. And 34 is from Mrs. Darks again. Mrs. Darks says, what dead or dying art form would you like to try and bring back? Dead or dying art form? Do I even know any dying art forms? What the hell? See, this is one where I really, if I had read this question ahead of time and given it any thought, I would have looked. All right. It also depends on what you mean by a dying art form, because there's lots of, for example, when I hear something is a dying art, they don't actually mean art. They mean it's a skill set that people just don't use anymore. Like letter writing is a dying art form. That's one I think I would hear most often over time. From the context of your question, that doesn't appear to be what you're talking about. I mean, these skills that technology has made largely obsolete for most people, that, you know, we just don't need to know how to do it because we've got an app for that. But as far as dying actual forms of art that just aren't practiced at the same level they used to be, okay, no, I'm not. All right, foot binding, there you go. There's an art form that we don't practice anymore, isn't it? All right, but I'm kidding. I wouldn't want to bring that back. That was grotesque and horrible. I would say map making. I think true handcrafted, hand-painted maps that are accurate representations of the world, but hand done. We're all so used to Google Maps and satellite imagery, and it's so easy to just get a picture that, and even before then, so many of our maps have been, just mass produced. It's all focused on the road atlas style map because that's what everyone seems to care about. But cartography and, you know, I say dying hard, but I mean, I know that there are plenty of people who have a passion for cartography around the world, who are keeping all sorts of different map forms and map techniques alive that, you know, it's not like it's in danger of going extinct, but it's also something that there's not a lot of money in hand-done maps the way there might have been in the past. And I just saw, and I wish I had bookmarked it or saved it somewhere, but there was a person who spent ages on doing a handcrafted map of the United States where every label on it, the exact size and placement of every label and the configuration of all of it was all chosen by hand to make it useful in this very particular way. And it was a beautiful map, absolutely beautiful. But it's just the kind of thing that it takes an awful lot of time. And, you know, when you can, for most uses, I can go to Google Maps, I can pull up what I need, I can do a quick internet search, find the map I need, and I can pull it up, and it has all the information I want, and it works for my purposes, and therefore, you know, why do I care so much about the beauty of the map? It's not like for the most part I'm hanging these on walls or but you know, there is a beauty in those. And especially where you see the map making art form continued is fantasy maps, sci-fi world maps, maps created for games and for literature. Those are gorgeous because they come up with, you know, when you need a map of your sci-fi world or your fantasy world to go with your novel, you need a map that not just represents your landforms and gives the information that's needed, because if you're providing a map, it means people are going to need to reference it, need to figure out where stuff is in relation to each other, but also the details, the stuff that goes around the edges of the map, the little, the styles that you use to represent things on the map. All of those speak to the flavor of your world, speak to the kind of setting you're trying to evoke. And some of those can be really super cool. I've actually, I should bookmark stuff so I can recall it later. I'm so used to consuming stuff and then just letting it go. I mean, if I'm not writing it down to give you guys a talk about it here on the podcast, I don't ever save any of this stuff. Maybe I should start doing that. Cause it was a woman who, I can't remember where she had even gotten her start on making maps. But she was making maps for some, fiction series. And God, for some reason, I want to say the guy who does the Dresden Files. And she was helping produce maps for him on a fan-based level, and it moved into making it a real job. And then I got to see an interview with her. Oh, it was on the Imaginary Worlds podcast. That's where I heard her. And it was probably 3 or 4 episodes ago. And she talked about making maps for novels and games, making maps for Imaginary Worlds and how she goes about it and the kind of things that she puts in or doesn't put in to evoke the flavor of that world. And it's fascinating stuff. Really, really good. So anyway, there you go. Map making. I didn't even think I'd have a good answer for that one. How about that? 36. This will be our last one, I think. And 36 is from Kaz. Well, hey there, Kaz. Kaz says, Gen Con dinner. Okay. All right. 8:30. Gen Con dinner. We're not going to wait 90 minutes for Steak and Shake. So where do we go? I don't have a clue, man. It depends. Depends on what everybody else wants to do while we're there. My plans for meals at Gen Con so far, for the last couple of years at least, is if Nelly has invited us to go somewhere, then we'll meet people there and have a dinner. And if she hasn't, then we play it by ear, and it often involves food trucks. That's all I know. That's all I know. I have been to Steak and Shake at Gen Con, and it really was over an hour to get in and out. But it was awesome. Loved Steak and Shake. That was the first year we went. And loved going to Steak and Shake, but Jesus, what a long time. So, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, man. But we'll come up with something good. There, I mean, all sorts of options. Hell, for all I know, maybe we'll just be heating up TV dinners in our hotel room, right? We have no idea. Could be anything. But it's going to be a good time, and that's all that matters. All right. I said that was the last one. I'm going to stick to that. That is the end of the Podomatics for this week. So I am going to turn it over to GLaDOS. And before I read the credits, she will give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. That's me. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage for my gaming table. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want instructions on making your very own Pocket Mod for free, go on over to pocketmod.com. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Angry Geeks Versus, Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, please recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, then spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions or topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, please send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start every cast, I go out to Facebook and to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Post up that I'm recording, and anything you guys put there, I will read off right here at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing. So, first off, we'll start off over at my website, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And I have one response, and that is from Stan. And Stan says, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Well, a woodchuck would chuck all the wood in the wood if a woodchuck could chuck wood. But that's just the joke answer that my dad taught me. The real answer, because this has been measured by no less than science, 76 board feet. There you go. Okay, I'm kidding. I made that up. That was another joke answer I got somewhere. And I have no idea. I don't even know. I mean, it's a hypothetical. If a woodchuck could chuck wood, so we know he can't, so if he's incapable of it, I mean, clearly the answer is zero. And if he were capable of it, he'd be something other than a woodchuck, right? Right? Am I crazy here? That's all I got. All right. Let's go over to Facebook at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. And all right, I've got a bunch of responses here. First, I've got Master who says, I'm going to Disney in June. Who's with me? And no, I'm probably not going to Disney. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. As much as I would love to, Disney sounds like it would be a lot of fun. I don't think so. But Sarah Beth responds to that one, says, totally didn't see this before I okay. So apparently she's got something Disney-related down below. Nellie says, hey, I'll go to MikeCon if you organize it. I thought I'd throw that in there since you mentioned it in a recent podcast. Oh, man. I have been burnt before. I just, you know, it sounds so promising. And my kids keep telling me, yeah, come on, we'll do it for your 50th. It'll be perfect. We got years to plan it out. We'll set it up for your 50th birthday. Everybody will really show up this time. We promise she's not going to pull the football away again, I swear. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a sweet thought. I don't know if I've got the guts to try it again. We'll see. But then Nellie continues and says, what should I have for dinner tonight? I would go with... Let's see what's on our menu next. Oh, I know what's on our menu next. The next meal is Sloppy Joe grilled cheese sandwiches. So they involve their, if look up Sloppy Joe grilled cheese sandwiches on the internet, and you'll find there's a video for them. If you haven't already seen it passing around Facebook, you can find the recipe. But you wind up doing some Sloppy Joe mix, some cheese. You do it on some kind of large. I can't even remember what kind of bread it is. Can't remember. Oh man, yeah, I think it might have been a big sourdough loaf, and you wind up buttering that thing up, and so you get your cheese and your Sloppy Joe mix, and you grill up a sandwich, and it just looks tasty as all get out. That's what we're having next. So, in fact, for that matter, any kind of gourmet grilled cheese, and by gourmet I just mean any kind of grilled cheese. I mean, look, if you just want to do plain old Wonder Bread with American cheese on it, go for it. But if you want to do something fancy, dress it up, throw some meats in there, make yourself some melts, whatever. You can't go wrong with grilled cheese. It's relatively simple and super tasty every single time. So, and look, and then if you want to be, you know, get a little traditional. I don't know how cold it is up there for you guys, but you know, if you want to throw in some hot tomato soup to go with your grilled cheese, always goes well. So, there you go. That's what you should have for dinner tonight. And well, shoot, by the time I'm done recording, I guess it doesn't matter because you're not going to hear this till tomorrow. So this is what you're going to do Monday night, because I'm sitting here thinking like I'm giving you the answer right this moment, and I'm trying to figure out with time zones what time it would be for you now. You're not going to hear this till tomorrow anyway. So yeah, everybody, this isn't just for Nelly. Everybody's having grilled cheese tonight. Get on it. That's what I'm having Monday night. So everybody will, it'll be like we're having a Nerd Pride meal all together. By the way, oh, shoot. No, we're not doing it tomorrow. We have to do it Tuesday. That's right. Tomorrow's the Eli's group is doing their first and only public performance of their one-act play for this year, which I've seen. I got to see them perform it at the conference meet, and it was really good. So I'm excited. I love getting to see the one-act performance throughout the season. You know, hopefully get to see it, you know, one of their first performances, and then you get to see the public performance where they've had a little time to kind of perfect it. And then hopefully they go to districts or they go to state, and you get to see a final performance where this is as good as this play is going to get for them. And watching it evolve, through the course of a season is always really cool. So I enjoy it. They're doing Macbeth. It's a comedy, send up of Macbeth, and it's really cute, really funny. They've dressed it up well, and I had a great time watching it. So no grilled cheese tomorrow night. Let's all do grilled cheese Tuesday together. Like I said, we're going to do ours with the Sloppy Joe, but you do guys do whatever you want, and we'll all have a Nerd Pride meal Tuesday night. By the way, speaking of Eli and all of us getting together, did you guys know that my son's birthday is on, and I don't, this is again one of those declared holidays, but we found out that his birthday is on Nerd Pride Day. How cool is that? So we thought that was really interesting. He thought that was fascinating. He's decided he's now king of the nerds. Clearly it's got to be him. So, anyway. Yeah, and we're not arguing. He is king of the nerds, which is, you know, one step above being king of the dipshits. So if you're – well, it's a Farmer Ted reference. It's from 16 Candles. So anyway, I was reading stuff off of here. So yeah, I know. I can't believe you didn't get the reference. What kind of nerd are you, Lisa? Jeez. All right. Next one down here says, it's from Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, Happy Thanksgiving, Jones family. Well, thank you. I think it is going to be a happy Thanksgiving. We always have a good time. In fact, I think we're going to drive to Omaha and go to the Marcus Majestic Theater with the big reclining seats and, watch the new Harry Potter film. So that's probably what we're doing over Thanksgiving weekend. It's going to be exciting. Anyway, it says, I am very thankful for the Nerd Pride Radio family helping both keep me sane and embracing my insanity. Yes, you're welcome here. Here is a Disney villain, FMK. Oh, okay. Here's so to tie into Master's Disney reference up above. F. Mary Kill, Ursula, Maleficent, and Hades. Okay. Clearly, straight up, you kill Ursula. Ursula is the, I don't know if she's the evilest of the three, but she's the one I can least relate to. So I'm going to kill Ursula. Maleficent, because of the Angelina Jolie movie, I actually have a little bit of sympathy for Maleficent and the idea that maybe she's not such a bad guy after all. That movie gave her a bit of a heart. And so therefore, I would be willing to be married to Maleficent based on that movie alone. And thus, that leaves me with just Hades to have my night of passion, which, okay, he seems appropriate for it. I'm sure he's down. So there you go. And then Master replies and says, I guess I have to answer this. And Master gives the exact same answer I do. So clearly it is the right one. He's a guy who's actually going to Disneyland. So he would know. So, all right. I think we are all completely finished. So that is the end of this podcast. Hold on. Before we go too much further, my machine logged me out. Let me make sure it's still recording before I actually go signing off here. Hey, look at that. It's still recording. Okay. So anyway, that's the end for this week's podcast. Thank you guys for showing up. I love you guys all so much. It is an awesome, awesome time. You all have a happy Thanksgiving, and I will be back next week. So thank you, Lisa. She loves you guys too. Bye.